Hey, this is a favorite morning of mine. We started this 3-4 years ago. We always do it about around the July 4th holiday in that area somewhere. I was talking to a friend of mine at another church, and he said, yeah, we take five people that we pray about it and just ask God to lead us to five people that have a story to share that that may never get a chance to share it. Not in a full-time ministry. That's not their job to be up on stage in front of people, because I truly believe this, and I have said it to the students for many, 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 many years, and that is there's only one person that can take your story or your testimony away from you, and that's you. That every story, no matter how some people say, well, I've got a rough story, I've got a rough life, you know, I just met God, my life is still a mess, or maybe you've been serving God for 30-plus years, all of your life. Both of those stories have incredible redemptive value. And as you share with people, as you can tell your story, it doesn't have to be from the platform like the five people you're here today, but it can be in the office. It can be in a car riding to work. It can be with your family going on vacation maybe this week. I know some of you are leaving for vacation this week. So it can be even that, just time to share your story, to let people know what's God's done in your life. Something as simple as, God blessed me this morning, I was having a rough morning, and he brought me joy, can change somebody's life. So this morning, you're going to hear from five people that I'm completely convinced that everything you're here today, actually, I take that back. You're going to hear from four people today. I'm going to sub for one. Mr. David McClune was supposed to be sharing this morning, and the devil attacked him this morning. He's woke up sick and not feeling well. And so he won't be here this morning, but he's not off the hook. He just doesn't know that yet. So I'm going to get hit, because the stories, as I begin to look and just pray, and God took me to different people that you're going to see this morning that are listed on your sheet there, I just begin to see God weaving a story. And the ad we run online and the ad we talk about is, it's amazing to me how God can take five different people who've never talked. Nobody got together this morning and coordinated what they were going to say, and he can begin to weave a story. You know why? Because the Bible says the same Spirit that dwells in me dwells in you. And the same God that you're talking to is the same God I'm talking to, and he can take different people and somehow weave a message together this morning that if you'll let it, if you'll prepare your hearts and say, God, I'm expecting to hear from you today, then I believe he will. Amen? Amen. Well, up first is somebody I have known a very, very long time. I'm excited to hear what she has to say. Miss Lauren, if you want to come on up, we're going to have some not quite embarrassing. They were all mad at me because I didn't tell them ahead of time, and I intentionally told them last minute, I need you to send me a picture of yourself, and I specifically said a selfie. Some of y'all rebelled, and I had to get pastoral and rebuke you and tell you to send me a picture. But we got them all, so why don't you guys give her a hand, Miss Lauren Amison.
Amen. So Clint texted us all five of us in the same thing, and was like, hey, by the way, send a selfie. And it wasn't in the job description. Sam and I agreed. And so for 3 days, I just ignored it. You know, he'll forget or something. And then he threatened to go on Facebook, and I've had a Facebook since like middle school, so I was kind of scared about what he'd find. So, but it was fun to do that. So, and I've just want to shout out to Clint and Melanie that I've known them for forever, but they've also been just those those people in your life that are your mentors, but they're your spiritual pillars, and they are for Andrew and I both. I got to know them longer since middle school, but I mean, as far as impact in our lives, I just appreciate you guys. All right, cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump in. I'm going to be talking about a covenant today. And that's a word that we hear a lot. We talk about a lot, but I want to just really dive into this. During our fasting and praying at the beginning of the year, God gave me this word. And when he gave it to me, I remember him saying, this is something that's going to be shared. And I didn't know what that entailed, but I just kind of took hold of it. And then a couple days later, our grow group had a brunch at Aaron and Cameron Martin's house. And they were talking about it, and we started talking about this message. And I just felt peace, like, gosh, I had the opportunity to share it. That was awesome how 3 days later, God promised me I'd share it, and then here we're sharing it together. But it was very brief and very concise. And when Clint asked me to do this, I was just praying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to share? And God reminded me of this passage, and he said, you're just not done with it yet. So I wanted to take a few minutes and share that with you this morning. A covenant is something, by definition, that it's a treaty. It's a promise, but it's something that's under law. It's not something that, you know, I go up to Andrew and I, hey, babe, I promise when we get home today I'll do the dishes, right? It's not something, hey, Jessica, I promise I'll call you when I get off of work today. A covenant is something that is by law. It's written in stone. And we can think of marriage as an example of a covenant, that it's Andrew and I's promise to each other. It's our promise before you to God. But then it even takes it a step further that the law has to sign that document, and it has to be on file. It is set in stone that Andrew and I have this partnership, this marriage that we are together. So a covenant isn't something that you can just flippantly say. It is something that's written in the law. And not only is a covenant something by hand law, but it's by our governmental kind of law. If it's a covenant from God, it is set in stone. It is never to be changed, because we know that our laws can be amended and things like that. God's law is set in stone. His promises remain forever. There is no changing of that. So what I want to do today is just talk for a few minutes about a covenant and about God's law. And I realize that I talk really fast, so I'll try to slow down. I have a lot to talk about in 5 minutes. Like, this is a challenge. So when I was praying about a promise and the difference between a promise and a covenant, I thought about, I work with elementary school students, and you know, they'll come to me and Miss Lauren, they're crying or upset, and they're like, someone did this, and we go into the story, and they broke a promise to that person, and it hurts, you know, especially when at that age, because the promise is really, that's a new thing, trusting somebody, and that's very new for them. And so we kind of divulge it, and we keep going, and then the next thing they'll say is, but Miss Lauren, they pinky promised me. And that's like from a promise to a pinky promise is like a whole different set of stones. You know what I mean? And so when we're sitting there, and it's not just the promise that they told me something, they didn't do it. It's like I said, it's that trust. And then there's also some of that shame that I trusted this person, and now I'm the one isolated, or I'm the one left alone. So I want to encourage you today that for kids, a pinky promise, and for us, it's a covenant. It's something that is set in stone and that we believe in. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm not going to read all of the verses just for the sake of time, but we're going to go to Genesis 6:17, and Mr. Becky, if you'll just flash them so you guys can take them as references if you want to. We're going to talk about some people in our Bible and about covenants that God made to them. And the first one I want to talk about is Noah, and how, you know, Noah was just kind of a chill guy. He really loved the Lord and his town, that there weren't a lot of people around that honored God the way that Noah did. And God said, hey, Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make a promise that the bad is coming, the flood is coming, because we've got a clean house. But I promise you that if you obey me, you walk with me, you and your family will be saved. And not only will you and your family, but you will be somebody that starts afresh. You're going to be the one that starts anew. And I want you to think about Noah and all, I mean, before, it's like I was reading it, and it just feels like this would be, I know it's the Old Testament, and I know that it's truth, but it's one of those things that you think, is that really how it happened? Because Noah really didn't see the fruit until he was 600 years old. God tells him one thing in his younger years, and then Noah does not see it until fruition until 600 years, and he's that age. So I want you to, one keynote from a covenant is that covenants take time. It's not something that you're going to see tomorrow. It's not a promise that's going to be mended by the next day. A covenant takes time. It also takes faith, because Noah definitely had some faith. The next one I want to jump to you is Genesis 15:18 and Abram. And love this dude. He's just a really cool guy who, you know, we know him as the father of the generations is what God told him. And in verse 18, God made a covenant with Abraham, and it's a promise to give the lands of all other nations, not just yours, Abram, but all the nations around you, those are going to go to your descendants. God gave Abraham. That was a covenant that God made to him. But in a verse earlier, a couple verses, 13, God warns Abraham that for 400 years, there's going to be torment and his people would be slaves. So God promised them, he gave him this covenant, but notice that it doesn't come without sacrifice. Covenants take sacrifice. They're not easy. But with any good thing, great reward, it requires great sacrifice, and we see that with Abram. Now, just being frank with you, if God came and said, Lauren, you're going to be the mother of generations, and I was praying with the Lord, and he said, but your generations for 400 years are going to suffer, I'd have a hard time with that, knowing that I'm making this agreement that causes, there's just causation with other people around me. It doesn't just have effects on me, it affects all the other people around me. And God was very upfront with Abram, but we know that God's goodness will always overcome what that stressed out level may be, whatever that may be. And the last one, I'm talking really fast then, I know. But the last one I want to talk about is our new covenant. Because those were covenants of old generations that God saw to fruition and that he promised. But there was sacrifice for those. The best one that I want to talk about and I get excited about because this is our new covenant. This is the covenant we live under today. And that is awesome. It's something to be excited about. Is the covenant of Jesus. And the covenant of Jesus' blood. We're going to go to Matthew 26, 28, and I am going to read this one on my Bible. It may look a little different for you. This is the blood of the covenant, which some translations say is the new covenant, and I like that, so I'm going to use it. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So I want you to remember that we have covenants with the Lord, but our greatest is the covenant of Jesus and his blood for us. There's going to be times of trial and times of tears and times of sacrifice. I've been there and I've done that. But I know, even in my fears and my frustration and my not understanding, that Jesus is that ultimate sacrifice and he's that covenant for us. He is the one that covers all the sins every time you go up to the Lord. But they pinky promised me, God. He says, but Jesus already paid it. He covered it all. We're just safe and founded and rooted under the under Christ our Lord. So that's what I got.
You want to dance, you can dance. The next was supposed to be David, but he's... like I said, at home at 6. So what I want to do real quick, why don't you grab the hand of the person next to you, and we're going to pray and bless him. And like I said, he's not out of the woods yet as far as getting up here. And so he's going to be here hopefully soon to share his story with you. But we're going to pray and bless him. Father, we thank you that your word says that you're not bound by time or space or distance, Father God, that right now in David's home, Father God, we speak peace to his body. I thank you for supernatural healing, that your word says if we gather together and we pray, Father God, that your word says that he will be healed. I thank you for peace in his body, peace in his stomach, whatever bug or whatever sickness has come against him, Father, we curse it in Jesus' name. Even the covenant that Lauren spoke of, Father God, that new covenant said that all those things have been broken off of us, that you paid the price that we could never pay, Father God, and out of that comes our health. I speak to his body, and I call it healthy and whole, that he's complete and lacking nothing, Father, and we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, next up, he's a little nervous, so y'all be nice to him. This is our youngest one of the day, and I have to tell you a little story. Sam, you can come on up, because I'm going to embarrass you. Sam here... Came into my life through the praise team, and when he did, he didn't say much. And I guess today you still don't say much, do you? So if you don't know the story, a while back he came to me and said, something's happened in my life. Something I have is no longer working, and I need some help. I'm not really sure what to do. We prayed about it. We talked with family about it. And I'm going to let him tell you the story. I hope you're going to tell the story. If you're not, you're going to tell the story now. To tell us a little bit about kind of what happened in his life, Sam and his mom and family are transplants. They're northerners that somehow landed down here. And I'm so glad that he has. You don't see him a lot on the praise team because a lot of times he's in the back playing bass. You don't know it, but he's also singing as well. And he is super talented. He has gotten into the music program at Georgia Southern. He's been accepted there. Yes, that's an awesome. So I challenged him. I said, Sam, you need to tell your story. And you're going to have to do it one day, sooner or later, in a public speaking class or something in college. So you might as well do it here because we only moderately laugh at you. Everybody's agreed not to throw stuff. But again, I think the testimonies that you're hearing as we walk through the different people, again, you're going to see God begin to weave these together. So why don't you guys give another hand for Mr. Sam Griffith? You want me to stay? Okay.
Hi. So I'm just going to like start off by introducing myself. Like Clint said, we are from the north. I grew up in Pennsylvania. We moved down here in 2013 in June. So we've been down here just over 5 years. We moved in with my grandma. I've been living with her ever since. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm very socially awkward. I'm not good at talking to people or in front of people. So, yeah, bear with me. I'm kind of the opposite of Lauren. I'm going to try to talk for as long as possible, but Clint, I'm sorry if it's not 5 minutes. So, yeah, we moved down here in 2013. Just like, I don't even know how many months ago, like, not quite a year. I was on the way to Statesboro, and my car blew up on me because I didn't check oil. So I was stranded on 301 right by Cleto, and my parents came and got me. We took my car, and it was kind of out of commission. And Clint heard about it, and so he talked to somebody in the church, or they came to Clint and said that they wanted to bless somebody. And, yeah, God really helped me out there, to say the least. And the whole time I was up here, Cam was up here. He was telling about, like, what happened. He was giving me the keys, all that. And the entire time I was thinking to myself, like, why me? Like, I'm not special. I'm not, like, you know, like, why me? I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything for it. And the entire time God was telling me, like, I mean, he gives us air to breathe. He'll give us anything. He keeps all the animals on the earth alive. He provides for them, so why wouldn't he provide so much more for us? And so I wasn't really planning on telling that story, but Clint kind of made me. I was going to talk more about courage and fear. And whenever I told Clint that I was willing to do this, like, I'd come up here and throw myself out there, I was listening to worship music in my room, just kind of chilling out, and the song Fear is a Liar came on, and he texted me. He was like, so you gonna do it? And it was on the chorus. The chorus of that song says, fear, he is a liar, he will take your breath, stop you in your steps. And well, if that's not a sign from God, I don't know what is. So I decided to do it. And one verse that came to mind was Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And well, that just tells me, like, whatever you do, whatever you're scared of, like speaking in front of a lot of people, don't be afraid or scared, because he's with me. I don't really have much else. I'm a minute short, I'm sorry.
I'll give you a little more detail what Sam's story, and again, I'm taking notes, by the way, and I'm going to prove to you when we're done that and I'm going to actually do it on the fly, because I really believe God will weave these stories together. But when we found out about Sam, there was somebody that day he called and said, hey, my car's permanently out of commission, you know, because he was supposed to come, I think, do worship with the students, and he couldn't have a way to get here, and it was just aggravating. Somebody called and said, hey, we want to do something and it was through Project 216. They said, we really specifically feel like we want to do something for a high schooler. And I had just gotten the info that, Sam's car had died. And about 10 minutes later after that call, I got another call from a gentleman in the community that says, hey, somebody gave me, they owed me some money. They gave me a car. I don't need the car. I'm going to give it to you for less than Blue Book. Do you know anybody that needs it? All in a span of about maybe 5 or 6 hours. I don't know about you, but like Sam said, it was like, okay, God's starting to work. And so we were able to bless Sam with it and surprise him. We had his family and here, and it's been good to him. But I told Sam that in talking about, when we were talking about God providing for him and then fear, and then he even mentioned the song about fear, I said, don't let fear rob you. You know, I know he was probably nervous, and he's probably his, you know, his palms were sweating and he was nervous today, but I'm telling you, doing what he did today is going to be a seed in his life for the future. Sharing with you guys will be a seed in your life, that he overcome and overcame the fear, because I know the fear of standing in front of people and kind of putting, like he said, I'm putting myself out there. But I'm proud of you, man. That was a great job. And God's going to continue to weave this story. So let me go to our next group. And next is actually, let me explain this one. I went to one person, and this next person said, well, I'm not going up there unless he goes up there. And so I got kind of a 2-for-1. So you're actually technically are hearing from 5 people today. But Michael and Andrew, if you guys want to come up, I asked them to come share. And she told me, I will come, but I'm not coming unless he comes with me. So I don't know if he's under duress to do this or if she will let him talk at all. But either way, why don't you guys give them a hand? This is Michael and Andrew Burns.
I'll let them talk for a few minutes, but I'll go first. Okay, so similar to Lauren, my husband's name is Andrew. I'm Michael Burns. This is Andrew Burns. And in my 40 years, I've learned that probably half of you didn't even hear his name because you're still stuck on my name. And you're going, wait, did she just say her name is Michael? It is. No, my parents did not want a boy. Everybody asked that. Mom, she wanted a girl. They actually named me Michael Marie, and it was intended to be both names, but I'm lazy. That was too much to write 2 names, so I go by Michael. When I was a child, I hated it. I thought they cursed me. Now that I'm grown up, I like being different, and I like watching people's reaction to my name. So, let's see. Like Sam, I'm a Yankee. I'm from the North. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. I'm a city girl. I was raised in the Catholic school system. I'm kind of a wild child, so me and the Catholic school were like oil and water. It was a lot of rules. Felt like a lot of forced religion. And because of that, for a long time, I just really shunned Jesus away. I wanted nothing to do with it because it felt forced to me. And looking back, you know, there was always something in my life growing up that was missing. Just something wasn't complete. I never really felt as good as other people. You know, something was empty in me. And I didn't know it at the time. You know, I know it now in my 2020 hindsight vision, but it was Jesus that was missing. I didn't have a relationship with him, and I hadn't acknowledged him as my Savior, and that's what was missing. Okay, give me just a minute. So, just a minute. This is me as a Southerner after I've moved down here, and I'll tell you how I got here. So, after college, I started with a human resources outsourcing company in Atlanta. They had a huge skyscraper downtown Atlanta. It had 30 floors, and it's a big company. We had probably 10 floors there. Little did I know it, but this one also worked there. He came right out of college, and we were in the same building every day for 10 years on different floors, and our paths just never crossed. And, you know, looking back, that makes me really mad. And I'm like, we had all those years wasted, that we could have spent together and, you know, made all these memories together. But I'm reminded in Jeremiah 29:11, if you want to put that up, that Jesus said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And that quote just really helps me remember that I'm not as in control as I think I am, and everything's on God's time. And, you know, he and I just weren't ready for each other, and he was still growing our hearts for each other for those 10 years. So the time wasn't wasted. It was just God's time. Okay, I'm going to introduce you to Andrew and let him tell you about himself.
Hello. My name's Andrew Burns. I've lived here, except for the 10 years I lived in Atlanta. I graduated in 95 from the Scriven County school system. I see several people that I've lived by all my life. Like Michael said, worked in Atlanta for several years and then moved back to the farm. So we have a farm near Buck Creek Church. I was a bachelor forever, so we got married right around when I was 38. I lasted that long, right? So bachelor forever, it was quiet. It was a little, you know, a little lonely, but now it's definitely not lonely. We've got a 10-year-old. He's over there. We've got a dog, maybe two dogs, right, Tammy? A cat. Every night we have a raccoon on our back porch, and the dogs go crazy. So it's good to have my mother-in-law here. Yaya's here. She moved down to be with us, but it's an exciting last 3 years. We're coming up in September is our next anniversary, so it's good to be here, and I'm proud to stand up here with her.
Okay, real quick, I want to tell you how we met. So eventually, I transferred back to Ohio, and I worked from my home. And we still both work from our home now for the same company. And joined a new client, and I'm on the client side of things. They call me up, and they say, "Can you help me with this or that?" And so I write up the request to the tech team, and it was this. He was the head of the technical team, and wrote up some requests, and he sent it to all his guys in India, and sent it back to me, and it was all messed up. And he kept sending me a bunch of junk. And so I called him up one day and I said, "Stop wasting my time. What are your guys doing? They're not testing their stuff." And it was all downhill from there. I think he ended up liking my ferocity. So lots of plane trips later between Ohio and Georgia. We packed up the U-Haul, moved here. And my son and I, Evan, we fell into small town life really easily. I thought it was going to be hard, but it wasn't. We love Sylvania. I love living out in the country. All of our neighbors know me as the crazy girl on the four-wheeler. Drive through all their hay fields. Sorry, Bo Bazemore. doing crazy eights and singing songs in their hay fields. I love it. So we were on a real peak. I've got a few pictures here from our wedding 3 years ago. That's me and my son. I love that picture. I feel like I'm just looking at him saying, "I got you a daddy." You know, he finally got a daddy for the first time, and Andrew adopted him. And then that's the three of us. So that was definitely a peak in our life. And, you know, life goes in peaks and valleys. So about a year later, I got pregnant, and we were so excited, but it was a high-risk pregnancy because I'm old. And long story short, we ended up losing the baby. And, you know, it was a very tough time. The best way I can summarize that experience is Isaiah 47:9. If you put that up, it says, "Both of these will overtake you in a single moment on a single day, loss of children and widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure, in spite of all your many sorcerers and all of your potent spells." And that's so true. You know, we can throw as much money as we want at things. We can try to do anything we feel like is in our control to change a situation, but we're not in control. We live in God's plan, on God's time. And from there, unfortunately, I went into a really dark place in my life. I had about a year just isolated myself, did a lot of things I'm not proud of. That doesn't define me. It just kind of is part of my story, you know. And as part of that, I was in this bad place, but at the same time, I felt God calling me. And I said to Andrew, "I'm not really fulfilled at the little church that he grew up in all his life, and I just wanted to look elsewhere." And he was glad to do it. We looked, started looking elsewhere. We came here first, and we still haven't went anywhere else. So a year later, we're still here. Yeah. You know, as soon as I walked in the doors of this place, I felt loved. You guys are awesome at giving hugs and just making people feel so welcome and so loved. And you can feel the Holy Spirit in this place. It is so easy to feel it. And we're just so happy here. We love it here. Over time, we kept coming back, grew comfortable here, but I still didn't feel worthy of God or of raising my hands during worship. I just felt shame and not worthy of that. And it was Melanie Williams who actually said to me something so powerful. She said, you know, feeling like that is kind of like saying, Jesus didn't do quite enough for you on the cross. And I was like, wow, that's so true. That's so powerful. And it really changed my perspective. Clint has said that just stick with the program, keep coming back, keep showing up for a year, and it'll change your life. And that's basically our message, is we did that. You know, I was against forced religion and rules, and I don't like programs, but we just kept coming back, and it really changed our lives. So we've learned that not to make decisions out of fear. When he asked us to speak today, I did not want to do it. But I just keep doing the next right thing. You know, keep putting one foot forward. God's calling me to do this. We're up here for a reason, and we hope maybe our message could help one of you. There's one verse that, it's not from the Bible. It's from somebody very, very wise, though, that I think really summarizes my experience at this church. It's actually from Martin Luther King Jr. And he says, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving. And I love that. It really embodies this church, I think. You know, no matter where you're starting from, what part of life you are, just take one little step forward. Just show up every week. Get out of your comfort zone, because that's when you're usually going to grow the most, and God is working in your life the most. And just every week, take one little step forward. So, okay, Andrew, I'll let you speak.
I'm very proud of her to stand up here with me. I just had one verse. It's from Psalms. Everybody has different things that they pray about. I try to focus on just being, I ask the Lord for me to be the best person I can be. And this verse really spoke to me, create in me a clean heart, oh God. And of course it's a song if you've heard it. And renew a right spirit in me. So I'm always thinking about how every morning I get up, there's always problems, there's always things we're working through. Just me be the best person and then let the Lord handle the rest. Because I can't worry about everything. And that's my quick little verse that really meant a lot to me that I wanted to talk about. And that's it. We're a family. We're growing. And we're working hard. And we're thankful to be here. Thank you.
Amen. If you're wondering, they do have a big clock on the back. And I did give them some of David's time because Andrew agreed to be a good husband and come with her. The next person, and actually, even I didn't think about this, with Lauren and with Michael and Andrew and with Sam, they all serve in Dream Team spots that you don't see a lot. Lauren and Sherry kind of they head up our kids' church, so you don't hear them a lot. Your next speaker is Miss Sherry Burke. They all serve. They serve selflessly. They serve places where you just don't see a lot. But if for some of you, if you're like me and have to have your caffeine kick right before service, it does me good. Michael and Andrew actually came to us and said, hey, what about a coffee thing? And we've been planning one for years and never really did it. And so they've kind of taken that, and she heads that team. And make sure that we're all well caffeinated and ready to go every Sunday morning. So if you need caffeine, you can thank them because they make it happen every Sunday morning. Why don't you guys go ahead, Miss Sherry, why don't you come on up? Go ahead and give her a hand. Miss Sherry is another one that I asked, and she said, absolutely not. And she said, I will talk fast and I'll be done fast. I don't believe her because I think she sells herself short. She does she leads one of our grow groups that meets on Wednesday nights. Not this Wednesday night because it's July 4th, but She does an all-ladies group, and all those ladies love her and love to hear her share and just invest her life in them. So I believe that just like all the other speakers, that what Sherry has for us will be life-changing. Amen? Amen. Here you go.
Well, I have been blessed by every word that's been spoken this morning and can relate to much of what's been said. This morning, I wanted to share, as with Lauren, something the Lord had laid on my heart at the beginning of this year. And I thought it was funny as well when Samuel was talking about fear and the song encouraging him. I'm actually started reading a book called Being Brave Enough. So that was what kind of encouraged me. And it was like you just had to do it because the Lord was telling you it's time to do something. Step out and do something that's not comfortable. I'm comfortable over there, but I'm not comfortable over here. But when I thought about doing this, I thought about the picture of all of you looking at me, and what a blessing. I know, it was a blessing just thinking about all your faces and how you all bless me. So I do appreciate all of you as well. But this morning, I wanted to share with you again with something the Lord that placed on my heart at the beginning of this year. It was actually January 1st, and I was sitting on my couch, and I had the Bible opened, and I was just asking him for a fresh word and fresh guidance for the new year. So not being very good at being still and listening, I began to search through the Bible for a chapter in Psalm that I had been trying to memorize. But I ended up in Psalm 42. So if y'all want, if you want to, you can turn, but I think they'll put it up here. But Psalm 42 is what I came to, and this is what it said. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with him? Now, this is a wonderful verse. It was speaking to me. This was what I wanted. I was sitting there. I wanted him to speak to me, and I wanted to just, you know, sit there and let him tell me something good. So, and I love commentary, so I went straight to the commentary, and this is what the commentary said. It said, as the life of a deer depends upon water, so our lives depend upon God. Those who seek him and long to understand him find never-ending life. Feeling separated from God, the psalmist wouldn't rest until he restored his relationship with God, because he knew that his very life depended on it. Well, then I came to the last sentence, which was actually a question, and it said, do you thirst for God? Now, many times in commentary, there will be a question to help you apply the verse to your life, and all I have to say is, application successful. It had been applied. So at that moment, I just really felt like the Lord was asking me, do you truly thirst for me, Sherry? Now, this was not the first time that I'd ever read these verses, and probably not the first time, I'm sure, that I'd ever read the commentary. But on this day, when I was asking God for guidance and a fresh word for the new year, he used this verse to say, and this is all caps, this is what I want from you. This is what pleases me most. Thirst for me. Desire me above all else. Put me first. Spend time with me. Create quiet times for us to spend together. If you thirst for me, and this is my favorite, if you thirst for me, I will satisfy you. And it was a simple message, but it was very powerful for me that day. In Psalm 107 and 9, it says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Now, our Father has many good things laid out for us to receive. Good blessings, good plans, and powerful ministries if we will thirst for him. And Jesus says in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus knows that he knows that we will get thirsty, very thirsty at times, and that only he can truly satisfy us. And this one's not going to be on the board, but and this is one of my most favorite psalms, and that is Psalm 63, when David says, and this is King James Version, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longeth for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Now, there is nothing on this earth that can satisfy us but him. To end, I want to share some lyrics written. I found this in one of our Bible studies. I can't remember which one. I couldn't find where, but I'd actually written it on a card and put it on the refrigerator for a while. But it was written, some song lyrics, in like 1922 by Helen Lemmel or Lemmel. And it says, this is what it says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This morning, I pray that my eyes, that our eyes, will always be fixed on Jesus, desiring him above all else, and he always keeps that desire fresh in our hearts, fresh. Thank y'all.
All right, are you ready? I guess not. All right, you have to bear with me, but I'm going to prove to you God tied this together. Lauren started out by talking about what? A new covenant. Or actually about the old covenant. About the covenant is more than a promise. It's not just an agreement, hey, I will fulfill this, I promise you. But in the Old Testament, the way they actually fulfilled a covenant was through the shedding of blood. They were like the original blood brothers. Remember how you would do that when you were little as a kid, and they would actually commingle blood together, and that was a sign in their tradition that it was inseparable because they had mixed into one. Then that was bigger than just a promise. It was bigger than just an agreement to. Then Lauren also talked about, then God said, well, I need to give you a new covenant because the covenant we have, you can't live up to. God gave us the law knowing that we were never going to be able to complete it, to live up to it. He knew that we were never going to be able to make the payment for our sin, to pay the bill that he has for us. And he had to give us everything he had, and he gave us that through his son Jesus. Then Sam came and talked about God providing. The Bible said, and even Lauren talked about it with Abram, that when he went up on the mountain and said, go make a sacrifice, and I'll ask you to sacrifice your son. He had to go knowing that if God didn't provide a lamb, then what was going to happen? He was going to have to sacrifice his son. Sam's story started with God providing. Then Sam talked about fear stealing. Two people have talked about that song, about fear being a liar, fear stealing. The same is true for us, I believe, for a lot of us. When we take the one step that Michael talked about, just keep going, you come through the door, and then God's trying to lay it out and give us everything he's got. But what keeps us? Fear. Fear of what people think. Fear of what I was doing last night, that I can't possibly go to church this morning because what I did last night, right? Fear of I can't share my testimony because people are going to laugh at me. Fear of my story not being good enough. Fear of my story not being Bible enough or godly enough. But that fear can overcome you and steals from you. That we overcome, the Bible says we overcome the devil by what? By the blood of our testimony and the word of the Lamb. Right. What is the Lamb? That was the New Testament talking about God providing Jesus. Right? We overcome by the fact that Jesus is now inside of us. He's paid our debt. He's given us that new covenant. And Sam, I again believe in what Sam shared, that had he not done this, I believe the devil would have stolen something from him that for him, I believe from here on out will be life-changing. Then Michael and Andrew came up, and Michael started talking about, this is my condensing it, but about being incomplete, about feeling unworthy, about feeling unable. Well, here's the truth of the matter. She's right. Because we're all walk through the door, we're all incomplete. The Bible says that we're all falling short. I don't care how good you are, how well you can sing, how well you can dance, how well you can, whatever it is that you're good at, it's not good enough. Your perfection is not even close to being good enough. That that she's right, that there is this incomplete feeling, and the devil wants us to run with that. He wants our story to make us feel incomplete. He wants us to, the new covenant to not be enough for us. So for us to be able to hear and to understand that what God did for us, He gave us His all. He gave us all in His Son Jesus, and the completeness was not in what I do, but it was in what I receive. It's not in how I behave, but yet what I receive, what I take in from God. She also talked about, and I think this is right there with the whole line of talking about covenant, that God is in control. In this covenant God makes with us, He's letting us into it. The Bible tells us that He let us in through Jesus, but the Bible is very clear that He's in control. This covenant He makes promises to us that when we do this, receive Jesus, He will give us something. But in that giving, in that covenant that we enter into, we have to understand that God is in complete control. That God knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. I am a lot like Michael. Sometimes I have to question God. Like, God, I needed this yesterday. This timing is not working out for me. But God just knew. God knew when we need and what we need, and He's done it time and time again in my life. She's also talked about a rough time in her life. And I know for a fact that even her story has touched some lives in this room. Even hearing, I know her and Melanie shared stories about about even in my own life, about maybe I think sometimes I was, at some points in my life, I know with Emma, but before Emma, we walked through the same thing. Not many people know that, but before Emma, we lost a child as well. And I know what it's like to feel to feel failure, to feel like, what could I have done differently, blame God. But God said in His covenant, and He says it in the book of James, and I quote it all the time, that God for us wants us to be what? Whole, complete, and lacking nothing. And if that's true, then I'm not missing anything. The other side of this story is how God can take, the Bible says He works all things out for the good of those who, what? Love Him, who are in covenant with Him. That even something as tragic as the losing of a child, the Bible says that God can redeem the time. Jesus is called what? Our Redeemer. That the things we think are lost and of no value, the Bible says, no, no, no. The very thing you think is the most invaluable is the most precious to me. And that's found in that new covenant. It gives us worth. She talked about this too. We find our worth. And our worth comes because God saw fit to give us His best and His Son Jesus. And that's what gives us His worth, is that our worth is that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Then lastly, Sherry came up and began to talk about depending on Him. She quoted the scripture of, as a deer panteth for water. There's this dependence on Him. That God not only let us make a covenant with Him, but God made a covenant with us that He would fulfill everything He said. The covenant that we started with and talking about Lauren, the old covenant, then we moved to the new covenant of Jesus coming. Sherry began to say and these are my words, that God put us first. That God began to open a way, and she ended with this scripture. That matter of fact, if you can still throw it back up there if you will, John 7:37, that says, you're going to have to throw it back up back here. Yeah, there we go. That on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said, let anyone who's thirsty. The covenant that Lauren started with and the covenant that Sherry ended with were open for anyone. That anyone of any place in life, any position in life, as you saw today, from young to, we're not old, but older, that God began to take people in. To share their story, that it's open for anyone. And when Sherry said that at the end, I just felt it in my heart. I don't know if who that's for, but some of you may be struggling with it. I know they got a good story and God redeemed them. Maybe it's going to be somebody that's listening online. Yes, for those of you who shared today, you will be on our podcast and you'll be online. So maybe if somebody listening online today, you feel like you're not worthy like this anyone does not include you. But please hear my heart. God's talking about you. He sent his son for you. What you did last night, God's not worried about, because his word says that he has overcome everything that you could throw at him. The health, maybe your sin, whatever it is, the Bible says that you have been redeemed. And the thing that you thought was the most invaluable, worthless, screw up, mess up in life, God has made the very thing that will turn your life around and redeemed you so that you can have that free, unconditional love and relationship with him. Amen.